Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah. I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
It's me. It's me. It's your boy, DC. Gather round, peeps. Chill and point your ears to me. There's quite a bit of treasure that I have in store. So prepare yourself, kiddies, because this is Core. At least there's no butterflies here.
You are my friend.
Well,
it's still good. It's fresh. It's still fresh out of the fridge, man. There's no spoilage here. That intro still rocks. And it's a good thing it does, because this week we get Deckard Cain on the PTR. This is Core, everybody. I'm Scott Johns with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. We're here to talk about Heroes of the Storm. And after this episode, we will be playing it. So if you're sitting here live hanging out, please join us for our team league games. I don't know if we're playing actual team league or not, but it's our team leaguers. What do we call ourselves? Stored corn? Is that it?
Sometimes. That's
what we don't call ourselves.
Oh, I thought we're called like ourselves stored.
Team Ultra Mega Gundam style. Or something. It's got to be something cool.
That's not very cool, though.
Well, you know what I mean. Like,
it's not cool like stored corn.
No. Stored corn is cool, man. The kids love it.
The day.
It's for the kids.
And I mean, it's team chocolate. Let's carry on.
Let's see. Grave Dahl in the chat says, Children of the Core. That's not bad. That's pretty good.
I mean, pretty good, but only three of us are from Core, and the other two are from other shows.
Oh, yeah. So we shouldn't do that.
You know what Alarak says about that?
What does he say?
He says it's acceptable.
I have another version of that. Are you saying that somewhere that I keep handy every once in a while?
No, it's a classic line.
It's pretty good.
Classic Alarak.
Alarak. Welcome to the show, everybody. Yes, so we are talking about the Deckard Cain week, and we'll get to that in a minute. He's up on the PTR. Maybe we'll take a look at him. We probably won't. Maybe we will. I don't know what we're going to do. But that probably means next week. We have someone in the chat who would know. I don't think she's going to say, but I'll bet it's only a week on the PTR is what I'm thinking.
And then that's your guess, huh?
Well, it always is that way. It's not a hard guess, right? Like,
no, it's a pretty safe guess.
Yeah. It's always like you put it in the PTR, cooks for a solid week. You smell it to make sure everything's fine. Check the little popper. If it goes like on a turkey, you know that Deckard Cain is ready to roll out into the world and we're ready to play him. So looking forward to that very muchly. Let's get to something else, though. And this is good that this is actually part of our opening today. I have found myself wanting more and more experiences of games that I can just chill with, okay? And I don't mean, you know, I don't want to play Journey 50 times over. What I mean is I like games where I can just sit down and the mechanics of the game and the feel of the game and that stuff just kind of washes over me and I get lost in it. And I can have music playing maybe or whatever, and I can just kind of go. And if you look at my Steam games lately, I've played a lot of this stupid farming game I'm way into right now. And part of the reason I like it is because it's super chill. It's just a lot of repetitive tasks I got to go do. Got to harvest this, make this, do that. And it just feels nice. A little guitar playing in the background. It's fall. Time to pick those peaches before winter comes. You know, that sort of thing. And then... I also have been playing an old favorite of mine. I like Wipeout, the Wipeout series, the racing hover game series. Great game. And the Wipeout Omega Collection was on sale. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to grab that and I'm going to play that because that's another one I can just kind of lay back and forget myself. Just get into the flow, get into the rhythm. For a lot of people, that's what they do with Heroes of the Storm. Or at least you can. I feel like maybe of the three of us, the most relaxed player is probably Bo when he's solo. We all get a little more intense when we play team games. But I'll bet you that you're the most zen-like when it comes to a solo game. But
Probably,
yeah. Now, the point is, we like games that sometimes are just there to help us unwind. If you're at school all day, if you're at work all day, whatever it is, you just want to kick back on the weekend. But sometimes that can be different or difficult in a game like Heroes of the Storm, where there is so much to know and execute on, right? You're thinking about meta. You're thinking about this character that's gotten nerfed or buffed. You're thinking about the new character that just came in. You don't know how to handle this weird meta that keeps popping up in quick play. Maybe I should go do draft. And if I do draft, is that going to frustrate me because no one will like the picks I make or whatever? So we're thinking, how about we give our tips and thoughts on how you can turn a otherwise kind of demanding gaming experience, a genre known for its demands on your mental acuity, into something you can maybe more relax and enjoy. So I'll go to Bo first because I do think you're the more zen of the three of us. John right. gets frustrated. I get frustrated, but only when we lose. If I'm winning, I'm feeling great, right? You seem to have a better, and maybe the king of all this is Kyle. Kyle has a really easy vacillation between I'm losing and I'm winning. It feels like he's just always winning, even when he loses, attitude-wise, right? But I think you're a very close second to that. So what kinds of things do you recommend for people who are like, I just want to ease in and blow off some steam and not feel like I have to be at my competitive freakout mode 100% of this weekend? I just want to play.
Yeah, that's quick match for the most part. Like, which is weird because given what the kerfuffle has been happening with EuroLeague and stuff, and the fact that they added voice comms, which is a good thing, I've actually found I've been reticent to jump back into Hero League because I want to play Heroes to relax. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, the absolute least amount of commitment to me is playing Quick Match, right?
Right.
So it's as simple as, like, it's kind of weird because everyone has their own ways to relax. Like you said, I think at the top, not everyone can just play a game of Quick Match and not get emotionally invested in winning or losing, for example. That's okay. And there's like no right answers. So I don't know if I have tips per se. I can say what I do, which is I focus on a hero, whether I'm leveling them up or I have a desire to be godlike with them and just play that hero. And it doesn't matter if I win or lose. What I'm trying to do is make sweet plays and decisions and, you know, whatever tickles my fancy. In the case of Chen, as long as I'm drinking and not dying while someone's trying to kill me, that's the high I look for when I play Chen. Mm-hmm. But
do you find that in the games, like, if the other players are trying to communicate, I don't know how much voice activity is happening in quick play these days. I don't see much of it. It's usually just happening in drafted modes. No, but
not really.
Yeah, so you can just sort of ignore everybody else and play your game. That doesn't mean you're not being a team player. It just means you're, you know, this may as well be a bunch of smart bots, right? That's kind of the attitude you have to have going in there.
I think so.
Yeah.
especially because I think, and it'll be interesting to see, because it sounds like they want to make some improvements to Quick Match. Mm-hmm. Because I think I've seen other comments from streamers and personalities that not a lot. I think maybe it was either Josh Howard, Jay Howard, Grubby. I can't remember who exactly. Maybe even Caldor, who mentioned that Quick Match is such a poor lead up to Hero League because the expectations are so different. I mean, Quick Match right now is literally just I could play with my forehead, and you know, like it's fine. Like there's nothing on the line. It doesn't matter, and so I can relax and play this game. And not that I do that. I do try, but.
I was going to say, if you did, you have a dexterous forehead if you're able to pull that off. I was going to be very impressed.
Well, I just think the point is that if there's a relaxing way to play, it's probably either with friends.
Yeah.
Although I find when I'm with friends, the tryhardishness comes out a little bit.
Yeah. Even when we don't want it to, it comes out, right? Like it's just sort of.
Yeah. If it's not working out right. Yeah. Like I think our attitudes are all still very relaxing and whatever, but we're just like, oh man, I got to play again. We got to win. Like I never had bad experiences. Just mm-hmm. when I'm alone, relaxing. I don't know, man. I switch it up. I go play Grim Dawn or Diablo 3.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to do that.
I'm playing Deus Ex Mankind Divided right now. And it's kind of, it's my Zen game for this week.
That game's great. I really like it.
If you play a lot of heroes like I do.
Yeah.
Switching to another game for a period of time, nothing wrong with it.
No, good recharge, probably. Change up the mechanics, change up your view, then come back to Heroes and go, like riding an old bike. Here I am again.
Yeah.
John, your thoughts on what you do to find that Zen point?
I play Brightwing, and that's going to sound like I'm dunking on Brightwing a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Because what it basically boils down to for me is that typically in a lot of our games, I fall into the warrior role. That's mm-hmm. that's typically where I land. And it's warrior first, then, you know, usually like burst damage or sustained damage, things like that. And then it, you know, last on that list is support. That's the last role I tend to fill. And so I don't know if it's just some point in my brain that says, you're not a support player. Set your expectations low and just go have fun, man. But there's something about playing support where I just get in there and I'm like, I don't really care. I don't play this role. If I do bad, whatever. There's no pressure on me. I'm a bad support.
Like, he's playing with his forehead.
I understand and accept this. And there's something about Brightwing. I just really like playing Brightwing. I just laugh at the voice lines. It's got real passive healing. I get to feel, you know, aggressive when I want to feel aggressive. And for some reason, that hero has just hit me as my just chill kind of hero. Just whatever. Just Zen. That's not to say I don't try. And it's not to say I don't like winning. But you know, I, for whatever reason, if I play game after game of Brightwing, I walk away and I'm just like, yeah, man, that was cool. Mm. That was all right. Mm. I don't hit the high highs of being a warrior. I don't hit the lows of, you know, if I get defeated. It's just like, yeah, that was cool. We played some Brightwing. We had a good time.
Why Brightwing and not, you know, Lili or whoever else? Like, why do you think that particular character, John? Is it because of the global? Is that just... You're like, yeah, also I'm alone and it's fun to jump from the top of this map to the bottom of this map.
I think it might actually just be that Brightwing passively heals.
Mm.
It lets me focus on other abilities other than healing, which is, you know, not what I want to do. You know, Lili, yeah, you can tape your Q button down or whatever you feel like doing at any given moment. And I do like playing Lili. You can play Lili in a real mean way, but yeah, I don't know. There's just something about Brightwing that just feels casual. Maybe it's that she flies. It's just calm.
Maybe. Yeah, she's pretty chill. She is a she. We decided that a long time ago, right?
We have. Okay. And every time we discuss it.
And every time we discuss it. I always feel like we didn't quite figure it out, even though I think we probably totally figured it out before. But yeah, it's a she. Actually, Lash is in the chat room. She can confirm, I guess. She probably knows better than we do. Anyway, the point is, what is the point? The point is, yes, you find a character like that, and it's fun to just sort of lose yourself in that character. I feel that way about Lucio, and it's probably also because of, again, his passive healing. It's just kind of, you know, off he goes. Little numbers pop up by people. That means they're getting healed. Done and done. But it is kind of funny that you, who primarily are our tank and oftentimes one of our DPS, that you that you find this kind of solace in this weird floating butterfly healer.
Yeah. It's not the expected place for sure. It's not where I would expect to go. But I think there's just an expectation I bring to the table with a lot of the other characters. But I will say one of the most like constant stream of matches and probably one of the best times I've ever felt playing this game was when I just made up my mind that I was going to get good at Kel'Thuzad. And I said, you know what? I'm clearly bad at him right now because I was losing terribly. I'm going to go back to AI and I'm going to just start working on his combo. And like, that's my goal. My goal is to get the combo down, set this tiny little goal, and just went in and started practicing it. And then eventually got to the point where I was just deleting the AI and it was ridiculous. And I said, okay, well, let's bump it up to quick match and try it there. And then it started working there. And I thought, all right, Kel'Thuzad's ready to go. And that was a long stream of games and it felt really, really good.
Yeah. I love your Kel'Thuzad play. Bo, do you have a go-to character like that where you just, that's the one you kind of lock into and stick with for a long time or maybe even go back to?
Illidan.
Oh yeah, I knew that. Why didn't I just say that? You'd love Illidan. Yeah. You want to have Illidan babies. That's what you want to do.
I mean, I'd love having Liam's voice in my ears.
Taranda. And I'm like, oh, this is so much fun. I'm relaxed.
It sounds kind of pervy. Sorry.
A little. It's all right. It's Liam.
An ASMR thing, not a sex thing. Let's say that.
Oh, we should tell him he's missing out on a real opportunity to whisper in people's ears on Twitch. And...
He does the critical role there. You can listen to him talk in the podcast.
That's true. Chat room's got all kinds of stuff. Sylvanas is a lot of people's happy place, things like that. I am very, very into the idea of having a hero that you can kind of just go back to and feel good about. For me, that's probably Jaina. Maybe it's... I don't know. It used to be Karazim, but I'm still having, he and I are still on the outs a little bit. I never feel bad when I get Kael'thas around or Stukov rather. So yeah, I kind of agree with chunks of both of what you've said. And I hope that somehow helps people go, oh yeah, where's my Zen mode? Like, where is it? Am I finding it someplace specific in the game? And if I'm not, maybe work on finding that just so you can have those times where the game is just a nice place to go and not a place where you go, all right, I gotta be hyped up, gotta get all my stuff going, gotta get my cue on, you know, like don't always be trying hard.
Gotta get my cue on.
Get your cue on, son.
There are four other buttons, Scott.
Yeah, that's true. But that cue matters, man. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to Deckard Cain. Deckard Cain moving in to the Nexus. He's on the PTR. If you haven't messed with him, then you probably should hop in there and check him out. John, you played him. I've had no time this week. What do you think of him? And are our concerns about Lornado misplaced?
So as much as I was the defender of Lornado, I didn't try it in the little trial mode that I played. Should be clear, I haven't played an actual game with him, AI or otherwise. I just, you know, took him to beat up Arthas, basically, which was a lot of fun. I made my companion instead of Malfurion, I made it a Johanna and just said, okay, let's see what he can do when he's just hanging out with someone doing Deckard Cain business. And it was really good. Also, I gotta say one thing I was really impressed by, and this is an odd thing to be impressed by, but the AI for his health globes, really solid. As soon as I would throw those down, Johanna would ignore them, and then as soon as she started to get low, she'd make a beeline for whatever the closest health globe was. So it doesn't mean a whole lot to a bunch of people, but you know, we'd always talk about like weird AI things, like that time Leoric would use his ghost form and then just stand there and not move.
That's interesting. Do you think every time they introduce a new hero like that with a strange mechanic, like someone had to go in and make sure all 70 other heroes or however many we were at now go to pick the healing?
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that. I mean, it must, like, maybe it's a trigger that's common and then programmatically is the word I meant. Maybe they can just say, well, here's another trigger and it behaves like any other trigger we already have them configured for. And if they see it, you know, if it's this, then go
like
do this.
An if clause. There's no other healing potion mechanic except for globes, right? Like there's no
Maybe they recognize them as health globes.
It's just weird. Like, if Kane is on your team, then behave X when healing potion on ground. And I'm just like,
that stuff fascinates me. Because it's such a big game, like, and with so many characters and so many weird things they all do. Like, that kind of stuff's so interesting. We need to get a dev interview with one of those guys.
Did you get a full map test? I wonder if Johanna would come from the top lane to the bot lane just to get a healing potion.
That would be funny. I did not get a full map test. I will try that out at some point. But no, she seemed pretty good and pretty well behaved with regards to it. Although she definitely had the AI opinion of it was her healing globe and not mine. And there would be times where we'd both be running for the same one and I'd just be like, I am faster than you, and I'd get it before she'd just do this real aggressive turnaround and go back to the lane. Like, fine.
Yeah. All right. Computer, Johanna's a real bummer. But hold on. Do we know if AI gets inside of like Alexstrasza's circle of healing or you know, those kinds of things? Because if they don't do that, maybe this is either an easier thing for the AI to behave with, or I don't know, or maybe those others just
probably has a healing protocol where it's like, oh, now I'm looking for healing. Is there anything I need to do to get the healing? Like in the case of Rengar, he heals you or he doesn't. You don't have to move.
Yeah.
Unless you're getting closer to him, but the AI probably doesn't behave that way to ping you and be like, heal me. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
Heal it me. Might be better now, but when I tried Alexstrasza on PTR, it felt like the AI characters were terrified of her healing circle. I'd throw it down and they'd be in it for a second and then they'd all be like, oh, and they'd step out right at the second that it popped. And I was just like, it's not AoE damage. What are you doing? Why are you leaving right now?
Yeah.
But it may have improved. That was around the time she was, you know, on the test realms, basically.
Well, I assume you put fools to sleep, at least, right? You decided to use...
Well, I did, but it's hard because it's sleep, so as soon as something hits them, they wake back up. Yeah. So I'd put him to sleep, and then Johanna be like, clunk, and just smack him, and he'd immediately get back up and walk away. Mm-hmm. So really, none of the ultimates are all that great in just a trial mode, because... they just like, what am I going to do? Push him back to the base and be like, ha-ha, Lornadoed, or, you know, put him to sleep and Johanna just wakes him up immediately. But, you know, it seemed effective. His slows are really good. It's actually very satisfying to walk him into the fray and just make him start hitting stuff with his stupid stick. Like it feels really good. You know, I think I said the day he was announced, I couldn't be more excited for him to be in the game. I have no desire to play him, and playing him turned me around on that. I actually kind of want to play him because his kit seems really cool and really fun. And there's something about like drawing that triangle, because it's so big, it's not easy to just step out of it, but you also have a lot of warning that it's coming. And when it's drawing and you see the enemy just start to walk away and you're just like, oh, is it going to get him? Is it going to get him? And it gets him. You're just like, oh, I'm the best at drawing triangles.
Yeah, it does have a funny quality to it. Like, hurry up and draw. You know, like just trying to get him in there before they get out. I'm curious how that's going to feel in a live game when you got a player who's gone too deep and he realizes you're starting to draw your circle. And then I'm going to be mad when... or not your circle, your triangle. I'm going to be mad when people like, I don't know, Li Ming freaking zip out of it.
Yeah.
Or freaking Genji, the butthole. Butthole Genji, I call him.
Butthole Genji?
Yeah,
he's the worst. They were banned in the 90s, I think.
I played bass for Butthole Genji. Yeah, yeah. They were awesome. maybe they're still touring. Anyway, that's fantastic. Bo, do you have any time with him or no?
No, I did like log in as we were starting the show and pressed all the buttons. They seemed to work. Mm-hmm. That's all I got. looking forward to it. I'm like all new heroes, looking forward to trying it out.
Are you at all bummed? Okay, this is my only bummer moment with the whole Deckard Kane thing, because I couldn't be more happy about him joining the game and all the stuff we've said. I think his kit looks amazing. I'm super stoked, and I love healers, so this is just a great gift. And I love Diablo in such a ridiculous amount of ways that, you know, having him come over just feels good. Now, that being said, doesn't it feel like there's a missed opportunity here? They've kind of stopped doing, I'm trying to think of the last one that was like an in-game cinematic intro, and I think it was maybe Probius. They've kind of stopped doing that. Now it's just spotlights and a quick little lore thing at the top, right?
He would be a good
He'd be perfect for that. Like, it's almost like that was made for him, but we'll never, we'll probably never get it. Because unless this lore stuff is more what they're talking about, and maybe we get more animated things, but I would have loved that, you know? Just some kind of, what's this play? You know, like you.
Well, it's technically not off the table. Because, so here's the thing about the announcement at PAX is that it's like right now, the Heroes of the Storm promotional system is new hero. So new hero gets cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
And, but on the Machinima trailers, you would see like when Medivh came out, you'd get like Tracer, you know, cameos by Tracer and Arthas and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how I think they need to approach the game in the future. Like, the promotional content can't be always the new hero. They should release the new hero, and then when they make promotional content, they should just focus on making it cool.
Yeah.
Which, to me, sounds like that's the groundwork of, that we were announced to expect this. So, the next trailer is going to be the Raven Lord teaching Tracer math or something. You know, it's like they're in class, and Tracer's like, "Oh, I don't, cheese love, I don't know how to do multiplication."
Yeah,
and the Raven Lord's going to be like, "Well, I'm going to teach you.
Yeah.
Here we go."
Yeah,
and you know, it's or something along those lines. So
I really like it. Yes, you nailed it. It's very good.
But it might not be math, but it might be what I picture is on the order of what they're doing with Overwatch. Yeah. I mean, we have a loot box progression system, which is an Overwatch lesson. We have, I guess that's the extent of it. It isn't really a big point after all, but you know, there's lessons learned with the success of Overwatch that Heroes can definitely benefit from. And one of them is the way that they're telling engaging stories, more so it's succeeding, whatever they're doing, their strategy for Overwatch is succeeding. But we don't have it for Heroes. And to me, the idea that these Raven Lords become characters means the story becomes the story of the Nexus. Just like Overwatch is the story of future Earth.
Right, right.
Well, whatever they do, I was promised meth.
Yeah. John wants meth. Did everyone hear that? Meth. Methamphetamine. That's what I heard. I don't know about you guys, but I heard
well,
that.
Well, you've been watching Breaking Bad.
I know. So that's all I hear now.
I understand why you heard that.
Amazing second watch through. I'm enjoying the hell out of that show. Anyway, we got patch notes for this PTR post, and there's some interesting stuff in here. I wanted to focus on a couple of things that we usually don't look at very much. We usually look straight to what's happening to this character and all that sort of thing. We can talk about that, but I always like to look at some of the more obscure stuff. Art, user interface, design, some of those things are always interesting to me, just from my background. For example, Gul'dan, everyone's favorite a-hole, received a visual update on his effects to make his abilities easier to spot during the battle. Don't know what those are in particular.
Actually, I think I know what this address is.
Yeah, what do you know about that?
So the I think it's either on the extended range or all ranges of the Q. The area it hits doesn't line up with the area of the art.
Oh.
Although I haven't looked at it, and it's very unspecific here in the note. I think it's just to make it more clear when you're getting hit, so the game looks like, you know, when a bullet misses you, but you get hitboxed in a game, like same deal with the Q, basically. So the art, I believe, is going to make it more obvious that you're getting hit with this fell flame.
Okay. I like that. There's also some stuff.
Oh, go ahead. Little warning spots are also dark purple, which can sometimes be a little hard to see.
Yeah.
So they might consider a different color or maybe make it brighter, but I don't know.
Well, there's an interesting note here that is so weird given what we just talked about last time we played. Because when we were playing a couple of weeks ago, I noticed that, or for the first time, I noticed that the avatars during draft mode were animated. Up till then, I thought they were static. And you guys were all like, no, they've always been animated. Maybe some are moving more than they used to or something. And you guys were right. They've always animated those. So it's just like a little, you know, floating head of whoever. And they've got a, you know, whoever it is. Let's say it's, I don't know, Karazim is kind of bobbing a little bit in his little face avatar there while you're doing draft. Ironically, they're taking that out. So just as I noticed they were 3D... They're removing that. Hero portraits and draft lobbies will now use 2D base hero art rather than the animated 3D hero skin models. This is in order to make hero picks easier to differentiate from one another at a glance. How many times have we looked at it and gone, oh, you're going to play, I can't think of one that looks like Jaina's Death Lord looking thing. Looks like her, that skin looks like, what's her name? Spinny lady. Anyway, there's a bunch of skins where they kind of look like each other is what I'm trying to get at. And occasionally you'll say, oh, is that Muradin or is that Flying Dwarf? Oh, I guess it's Muradin. So I think this is probably fine. Are you guys sad to see the, you know, Blizzard's,
yes.
Blizzard's all about cool polish and stuff, and this seems like a little bit that's got to be pulled back, but Bo, it's for good reason.
I've never had, okay, that's not true. I've had a little problem identifying, but there's this handy little thing. They label the name of the hero underneath. When you get confused, you look at it, read the name. What the hell? Why do these? So some people complained about it, and they ruined it for everyone else. This is like a. This is horrible. This is wow. Yeah. This is like a 10 on 10 terrible. Revert it before it hits live. The game looks cool. The draft screen looks cool, and I logged into the PTR. I'm gonna go start a custom game and take a look at it, but. There's no way. Yeah, it's horrifying. That's a horrifying change. I'm sorry. Sorry to be so salacious, but I thought it was cool that we had 3D, like, you know, just the draft screen's awesome. It's like the best draft screen in video games. It's funny. It's funny how much short shrift Heroes gets for some of the subtle stuff that you just take for granted.
Oh yeah, no,
user interface. The draft screen is awesome.
I agree.
Let's pour one out for the draft screen. The draft screen, is that what you say when you're celebrating something? Sure. It's great. And yeah,
I agree.
This makes me super sad. So
yeah. I get it, and I agree with you. I recently just popped in some other MOBAs just because I didn't enjoy myself much, but their draft screens are lame compared to this. Like, this is the coolest UI in a MOBA right now. Easily Heroes of the Storm. Like, that's a non-arguable point, I think. Yeah. And Blizzard's always excelled at that. They've always gone the extra mile with that stuff. So to have this go away is a little bit of a bummer. It would be kind of cool maybe if this was a per client choice and just let you choose in your client whether you wanted that to happen or not. That may help people with some performance issues so they don't have to see the 3D models. You know, like, there's other benefits perhaps to this, but if they made it in a client settings, meaning the end user, let him choose whether he wants the 3D portraits or not, that would be my preference.
Yes, good call. I'm looking at it right now. It's a travesty.
You're not a fan, huh? Do they glowy something going on, like some kind of?
Nope. It's just their. It's just their art. And when I change the skins, doesn't do. Well, hang on. I'm kind of running it while I'm running Discord, and I don't know. My computer's being. Oh, I can't change my loadout.
Oh, really?
Well, it's not letting me. I don't know if it's a bug or not. Yeah, I can't.
You can't change.
I have
your
to
loadout.
Pick the hero.
Are you on?
Oh, I'm on. It's because I'm banning. Sorry, one sec.
Oh yeah, you can't do that when you're banning. I would like to.
I put two bans up front, which you can do in custom games, right. Which I forgot that you could do. So right. One second, I'll report it. And
that's totally seconds. Fine. But I love the idea that you're trying to like dress up your band. It's like
it's just the hero portrait. So okay. Like when you change your skin, you don't see it change in the screen.
Interesting.
So it's just like I picked Anna. The portrait looks great. Like
the art's great.
You
know, sure.
When you got to work with something less than how awesome it was previously, they've done a good job of it. But
yeah,
overall, I'm going to leave this game and probably lose points. I'm going to close it and concentrate on the show again. It's not. I'm unhappy with this completely. Grow a pair of eyeballs if you can't see it, or just suck it up, Buttercup. Christ's sake, I'm pissed off. I'm actually like, okay, anyways, I'm old. Super mad. This is a terrible change.
I'm old.
Switch it back.
John?
I just feel cranky about it. I'm like cranky on the show and I don't like
it. That's okay. John, where are you at on this? Kind of give or take, or do you feel like Bo?
I don't really care. That's but I do agree, like, maybe a better solution is, I mean, where's our cool Hearthstone announcer that just when you select somebody they just Jaina, you know, like, doesn't that solve
we
it
do, if, we, We do need that. I would be okay with
that. I'd be
all right
with that.
Somebody just yells the name out loud, because that seems like a good...
Ah, see, there's a good trade. You got your animated thing, or you got your 2D flat image now, but replace that exciting 3D image with voice work and a crowd noise, so when you select Jaina, it goes, Jaina! And the crowd goes... Rah! In the background. Yeah. Like you're at some kind of arena
battle.
Everyone would
be like, I can't see what hero that is over the crowd yelling.
Okay, I say we crank it up to 11. Here's what happens. You select a hero for draft.
All right.
It makes a cool sound effect and the portrait, the 2D art appears. And then lightning, because storm, goes over it and crackles apart the picture. And then the 3D image is behind it.
Oh, hey, that's not bad.
We do all the things.
Yeah, do it all.
Everything that we've talked about, we just do them all.
Yeah, get them all in there. Why not? I just feel like that it's just sad to have to throw that stuff out, because it's a cool looking thing. But I also trust the devs. If they think this is a good change, then they may as well make it.
The racists are winning.
Mm-hmm.
They like Falstad and Murden look the same. Like all dwarves look the same to you, buddy.
Mm. Oh, yeah, by the way, hey, Quest. Hard on if you guys are Quest lovers. Any Quest lovers here? You guys like Quest. I don't like them. Well, I got bad news for you. Skill shots, as well as other abilities and talents that search for targets, will now pass through invulnerable targets and will not grant quest progress.
You know, there is something to be said about being able to farm abilities on that Johanna that hits her shield and is like, ha, 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 now I can stand here. And you're like, well, okay, but just keep giving me quest progress. It's fine.
No, but this, from a logic standpoint, it jives.
Yeah.
They're invulnerable. You should, you didn't, if you have something that says hit a hero, you can't hit
Right.
This is the change that's completely fair, but I'm still just like, nah.
Like, if you punch Superman
yeah,
and nothing happens, you don't get to say you punch Superman. You don't go to the bar the next day and be like, I punched Superman.
Oh, I like though.
Be like, I tried to punch Superman and nothing happened.
I'd say I tried if he dodged, but if I just hit him and hurt my hand, I still punched him.
He has a dodge. Yeah. It's a W.
It doesn't count. It doesn't count.
It's his D. Superman's dodge is D. Actually, there was a DC Heroes MOBA thing.
There was a MOBA. Yeah.
It was actually kind of cool. I liked some of the stuff they were doing, and then they canceled it while it was in beta because they're like everybody else. They looked at the competition and went, "What are we even doing?"
A lot of that. I remember there was a Transformers one that I was following.
What?
I don't think it ever made a lot of day light of day.
They had a
Transformers Universe free MOBA game.
That's cool. There was also
shutting down in 2014.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was a while ago. But there was also like some Lord of the Rings one. There was some other I can't remember what all. But there was a time there where everybody was trying to get on that train, and then they went, "Yeah, I think we're probably at peak. Who can get in here?" In about 2014, 2015. Thankfully, we got Heroes, and they're here because I love them. But then, this is happening now with Battle Royale games. You're starting to see everybody get in on the thing, and it's kind of...
I think that Cliff Bleszinski thing is super hilarious, though.
It's very funny to me.
It's I mean, I don't know.
Like, they went...
The ex-employee's like, I have an idea. Let me do what the game... Copy the exact game that my former employers made. Stop stealing my people! And I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's bad. And not only that, their Lawbreakers game, which did not find an audience... And was only out for not even a year. They're like, oh, bad news today. We're shutting it down. But we're starting a Battle Royale game. And like, so now they're in on that. EA, there's some rumors today that EA is working on a Battlefield style. Not in Battlefield itself, but a game that is based in that engine. And, you know, use the Frostbite engine. And it's some big 100 player Battle Royale thing. You're going to see this coming from everybody at a rapid pace. And then I predict the same kind of thing's going to happen that happened with the MOBA rush. It'll settle into whoever's top notch. It's Fortnite, PUBG, and who knows what other third one may be. I'm telling you, Blizzard, 100 Junkrats enter, one Junkrat leaves.
But here's the thing. Here's how I know that this genre is starting to go away already, is because you look at what PUBG is doing, and they're like, okay, guys, what if it's a super small map, not 100 people, fewer people, They drop down. They already have guns. And it's a big shootout right away. And it's like, congratulations. You've invented deathmatch, which we've had for a very long time.
Well, it's like, hundred man. The differentiator, they would say, is that it's 100 dudes and it's permadeath for that match. And then I would just say, okay, well, then you've made Counter-Strike with 100 dudes, because that's what Counter-Strike is.
We're coming back around. It's full circle. Pretty soon someone's going to be like, okay, I got it. It's about 10 people.
Yeah. It's 10 people.
A small arena.
Yeah.
No circle. Let's get rid of the circle.
Yeah. There'll be floating health.
Weapons.
Yeah. Weapons. Maybe a rocket launcher. Flat cannon. How does that land on you, folks?
You know where they spawn so that you can strategize where you need to go. One of them's a giant walking eyeball.
I love it. We'll be playing Doom, multiplayer Doom, where the bodies never disappear. It's going to be great.
And it'll be called Battle Royale Deathmatch.
Yeah, I'm stoked. That'll be awesome.
Hey, I want to sidestep into this. East Styles in the chat room posted something really interesting that we didn't have in our show notes.
What's that?
Yeah, I saw this. I debated putting it in there. I ended up not because there's no sourcing to it.
Oh, yeah. But this is where this number's been thrown around. Somebody's been talking about 6.5 million players.
This is a Dota 2 article. Probably it's reviewing the Dota Plus subscription package based on numbers, and then it's side mentions Heroes of the Storm 6.5 million account in size. It doesn't even say accounts or players. This isn't about it. There isn't a sourcing. So I mean, I could write an article about Tracer and the Ravenlord and then mention that Heroes of the Storm has 4 million accounts. But I don't, like, maybe Super Data is I've never heard of Super Data. Is it a reputable data aggregator?
Yeah, where did they get this?
That's the thing. I just didn't know. I didn't have time to figure it all out. Look, if we want to pretend that it's real and say 6.5, it is interesting in the scope of that's very close to where they're putting Dota 2 at. I mean, very close in the margin of millions of players at this point. But yeah. Again, that's the hard part whenever you get into numbers is Blizzard doesn't report numbers. So immediately my question is, where did they get these numbers?
Yeah, and it's important to note that this, again, the focus of this article isn't anything to do with Heroes of the Storm. It's that Dota 2 is losing its player base, like they're dwindling. And this is just some offhand, like, and, you know, meanwhile, Heroes of the Storm at 6.5 million. That's weird. And you're right, there's zero sourcing on that, like nothing. I don't know. I'd take this, but I mean, it's worth mentioning. I'd take it with a grain of salt. If that's true, though, those are pretty good numbers.
Seems like it's a marketing and data researcher, I suppose. So, I mean,
Super Data Osborne.
It could be that they're reputable, and E-Styles in the chat is saying that they're reputable. They work with them, but at the same time, like, again, I will always be skeptical until the company's reporting it.
Yeah.
Plus, the other problem when you talk about numbers in a free-to-play game is, what are we talking about? Are we talking about peak consecutive users? Are we talking about active accounts? Are we talking about...
Yeah, it's hard to bring it up as a topic because there's so much speculation and conjecture rather than any information, but I just thought it was interesting. It just jumped out at me.
It is interesting, and yeah, I read it,
it's too. It's a good number, I think.
I think it's
referring to an active player base because it references Smite as having 2 million, and I've heard the Smite number quite a few times in different places as being.
Yeah, no, those are good. It's good numbers in my head. Blizzard may have a higher goal, but I.
Yeah, but six. Right. I mean, if you're serving 6 million customers,
that's pretty good. Yeah, that's really good.
Conversion rate, you know, is 10-20%. That's still a fair amount of sales. I think that sounds good.
There are times where WoW's subscriber count is reaching that amount.
Yeah, no, they've got what, like 30 million active Hearthstone players. I don't know what the number is on Overwatch these days, but it's pretty high. This is in line with what I had hoped. No sourcing, so, you know, grain of salt until you know, but, and they're never going to say, I don't think. Blizzard doesn't really do these numbers, but. Very curious.
Well, they don't do these numbers, but it may be possible that some statistics are available for partners. You know, not that we have any insight into it, and I don't want to speak out of turn.
Right.
Just in case, not that I know anything, but I imagine there's a way for researchers to find, or this information is attainable to industry insiders in some way.
Well, I would like to personally say to our fellow 6.5 million Heroes players, our brothers and sisters in arms, hello and hi. Anyway, what was I going to say?
We have a Patreon.
Here's the
Patreon.com. Just kidding.
Just a dollar.
Only support us if you want. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. But just imagine if 6.5 million, it'd be just $1 each. Just one.
Yeah.
That's it.
$1.
I'd do a show every day.
Yeah. And I'd do it every day for you. It'd be our new job.
Mm-hmm.
For like a month.
That'd be amazing. I don't even want to think about this because it'd be too cool. And I don't want to be sad.
I like that in this scenario where Bo's making millions of dollars off this show, he's like, I give you about a month and then I'm just out.
It's a dollar an episode. We do an episode every day. I'm making a third of 6.5 million every day for a month. Yeah. Pretty sure.
Bo's out. Like, he's done.
Why am I working?
You're the in this scenario, you're Jesse Pinkman, and John and I are Walter thinking, no, dude, we could make 20 times this amount.
I see.
We're Walter White. You're Jesse Pinkman. And here's the thing.
I don't want to do it, man.
We're supposed to be more like Jesse Pinkman, is what we're supposed to be, except for the drug part and that. But the part of him where he has a conscience and feels bad when people die, we're supposed to be that guy. So,
but
Bo,
I love what
right
I
guy.
Do, and I'm not killing anybody doing this.
Yeah, but how long, John? How long until one of us is in a barrel full of acid? How long?
That's a good point.
Yeah, see? I told you. Anyway, hey, I got a question, though. This PTR patch was supposed to be a big Rainer update. He is not in here at all.
Oh, no. they have not promised Rainer yet. Well,
they
said he's coming.
They did.
But
AMA promised the rework's coming.
I thought it was rework coming in this
or
patch.
Update. I think update is a term of art versus rework.
Okay.
Maybe I read it wrong, but I thought they said that he's not the next one on the list, but he's being worked on.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. So there's no reworks in this one. So
we've had confirmation they're working on Lunara, and who was the other one that they said? It was Lunara and somebody.
Francine. I have no idea.
Yep. Lunara and Francine getting reworked, and then we'll probably get Rainer after that.
Okay. It's fine. I just, for whatever reason, when I heard it, I filled in the blanks, but I thought they meant this patch, but I guess we didn't get him yet.
Well, I mean, he probably needs it more than anybody, in our opinion.
Yeah.
But
he just made that, you know, incredible cameo in Ready Player One. It's time to get him back in the limelight, man. It's time. Even though the guy that was playing him was kind of a douche, but whatever. Go see that movie. It was fun. Anyway, there's that. What else? So there's the in-development stuff. We should probably, I mean, this AMA happened, when did this happen? Last Friday?
Friday, yeah.
That is interesting. What do we want to pull from that? Let's see.
Oh, before we get too far into that, I just want to point out about the in-development, how much I love that they were like, hey, we should get a mount to go along with Deckard Cain's release. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, you're right. We should. He should have a themed mount. And it's a weird trike-style motorcycle is what they landed on for Deckard Cain.
It's pretty great, man. Look at that thing.
Did you notice his alternate skin is in the same Mad Max universe as Garrosh?
Yes, I love that, of course. That's basically made for me. Yeah, can you see that, chat? There it is. It's, let me zoom in a little on it.
I posted a...
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
I just posted it because I saw the link that we have here, and it's like a wall of text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I posted a better article on Blizz Pro.
Yeah.
Written by a friend of the show, Alebeard, who's a big Heroes of the Storm player. I met him at BlizzCon. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
So I put it in there. There's a point form recap on the AMA that was last week.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm laughing because the chat room's asking why it's not a wheelchair. I'm sorry.
It's mean. Wheelchair. It's mean, chat.
It is kind of mean. But it made me laugh because I don't know why, because I'm weird that way.
You're all going to get old, chat room, unless you don't, which is more tragic. But, you know, there you go.
Anyway, sorry, Bo. That's where is that? Do you have it linked someplace?
In Discord.
Let's take a look.
Just make sure you don't show it to
No, I won't do that. Yeah, I won't do that. Let's see. Read the quick. Okay, here. You guys want the quick recaps? You ready for this?
Yeah.
Stop me on any of these if you want to say a thing. So here you go. Okay. Quick match. QM is still the most popular game mode. All right. Makes sense, right? Should be, I think. I mean, wouldn't you think it would be? I would think it would be. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. It's just easier to jump in.
Yeah. It's the whole idea of it. All right, second up, the first improvement they are going to make is to strictly enforce role compositions for a matchmaker. A team will not be constructed without a balanced team comp. This means that assassins or specialists may have longer queue times, while tanks and healers may have shorter ones. Jeez, what does this remind me of? Maybe World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
You know what? And that never stopped me from queuing up as this damage.
Nope. Except in that case, you could go run like world quests while you waited for the queue.
Yeah, that's sort of the bad trade. I was like, okay, it'll be 45 minutes. Anyways, I got other things to do.
Yeah. What is the chat room saying? I love how we all check up on Scott. Why are you checking up on me, chat room? I got to stop reading the chat room. This is why Brian Ibbett gets in trouble.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
What are some tricks to keep you on task?
You do electrodes, testicle electrodes. That'll do it.
Perfect.
Every time.
Okay.
And you just periodically go, just a light little buzz and make sure I'm paying attention. I'm
downloading it from my OS.
Okay. Just enough to wake you up, not enough to do any damage.
I like that you could download the app with the assumption that the electrodes are there and ready to receive the signal.
It's just there. I just need to log in.
All right. Their current thinking is that the balanced team comp would involve one tank, one healer, one assassin, leaving two spots open for flex picks. Again, this is quick match is the context here. They will also be incentive for players to queue as roles that they are currently underrepresenting in a matchmaking queue. That'll be interesting. Like more XP, some gold, some shards. Who knows? Loot box.
You know, not to get too negative thinking about this, but I read that and it's like, balanced team comp would involve one tank, one healer, one assassin, and then we'll say Abathur and Taranda.
Right.
Every game.
Right. I like that a lot. In ranked play, they do not like how hero swaps. If I seem like I'm reading this weird, it's because I had these eye surgeries that make it so white text on black websites is like the sun. Just... in my eyeballs. It's okay. I've got a thing here that'll help me. Anyway, they are open to they do not feel like hero swaps are a clear win for the community. They are investigating them, but it is a lower priority item. And as soon as I read that, I heard John go, because you want hero swaps, don't you?
I think it'd be nice. I think it's a good feature. It's not going to make me like super mad or anything, but yeah. You know, I think there's something to be said that in a game where there are strong, very strong first picks, especially when going off of what they said previously, they're not adding the new ban to the start of it. They're adding it to the mid. I think there's a strong case to take the pressure off whoever's in the order, letting them pick meta picks and let that go to a stronger player on that character. So I don't know. I feel like it kind of all goes together to some degree.
I think you're right. By the way, Senior Danish in the chat room. I have to at least mention this. It's a great name, first of all, Senior Danish. He says, it's good to see the core still remains the same, even after being months away. And then he followed up with, Scott's still talking about his junk. I don't do that on here.
He's like, I wasn't even gone.
No, it's like you never left.
I just want to point out, just devil's advocate here. The one deep backstory piece of information we have about a character in There Will Be Dungeons is the status of your penis.
Not mine. Nash's. Okay, I want to clear that up.
Yeah.
I want to make it very clear. There's been some confusion that was somehow allegorical to me in real life. No, I didn't kick my wiener under the bed. All right? Everything's intact. I had 3 kids. I can prove it. And I used my wiener to do it.
Oh, God. Thanks. It was entirely unclear until you cleared it up.
Glad I clarified. Here is additional information. A third ban is being added to the mid-ban phase. They didn't say when that's hitting, but that's being added. How do we feel about mid-ban phase banning? Or mid-game, mid-phase, whatever it is.
Yeah, we should be at the start. We covered this last week.
Oh, we did talk about this, didn't we? Yeah, we totally did.
Yeah, because this is the AMA for all the stuff we talked about last week. So some stuff it's just them saying just because we're gonna do it, you know.
Right. They repeated some of the stuff they said in that post.
And this is like the concise version. Probably they worded it in a better way that is more indicative of their point of view. So you have to take what's written here with a bit of grain of salt. But
how about this? They are open to considering first come, first serve drafting in Hero League. If there's enough interest in that from the community, they would test this first and unranked draft. So first come, first serve. How do you control? You can't control that if you're a player. So to them, it'll feel random again, right? First come, first serve is just when your ping let you be first in the queue.
No, it's like Team League, like who everyone can pick at the same time.
Oh. Yeah.
So the idea being there's voice comms, let's all discuss it, and then douchebag Carl's in there and he goes click, and he clicks Lost Vikings first pick or something. But hopefully, you know, maybe the player base will be respectful and good and it's not going to be a problem. So they're going to experiment in unranked.
Well, that is some hopeful thinking, but I we'll see. I actually kind of prefer it when we can choose who picks first when we're playing together. I like that when we're in that mode. A third ban is being added. Mentioned that. They chose to add the third ban to the mid-ban phase so that it can be more strategic based on how the draft is unfolding. They feel like the first ban just gets used to remove whatever's on the top of the meta at the moment. They talked about this a bit in that post as well. So they're trying to get a more interesting change up in the middle. They feel like part of the reason the population for Team League is lower than other modes is because of how difficult it is to organize a team. They feel like Team League needs some of the social features like clans and group finder to flourish, but those changes are still a ways out. Well, I would agree with them. I think that would help a lot, don't you think?
Yeah. I think it's one thing for us to do it when we're kind of in a community of people that do this. This sort of thing, but it's harder for just casual players to find communities probably.
Yeah.
But I think one of the themes that we saw over the course of this AMA was it's a lot of answers of that is something that the matchmaking team would be working on. We consider matchmaking a higher priority right now. I feel like that answer cropped up under so many of these questions right now. So I feel like kind of their default answer to many things, and I think it was what they said about clans and stuff like that as well, was just, hey, these are the same people that are working on improving matchmaking. That's what they're working on right now.
Sure. They talked about changing season length, considered everything from once a month to a whole year. They are open to discussing the idea of changing the season length, but they feel like the current system is a good balance between the options.
Don't need to do that if only have to play one placement game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because we talked about that last week, too. Yeah.
No.
The no plans to include a surrender option as they feel it would ultimately yield a net negative social experience for the players. Instead, they plan to improve actioning against AFK and inactive players. They're also working on a loss forgiveness feature for players who are affected by levers during ranked match. I am with them, and they should avoid for as long as they can the implementation of anything that's even close to a surrender option. I don't think we need it.
I agree.
The games are too short to worry that much about it. I understand why they exist in League, where games are way too long anyway, and I'm happy to be able to vote to end that thing. But also, that's a bummer when you're the only one that votes for it. Like, I've played a League game where I'm the only guy that voted for it an hour and I don't know how many minutes into this thing, and everyone was like, nope, I'm going to just keep going and losing horribly. Right? That sucks even worse. You can't end it. You got to just take the pain and feed and do whatever. MMR, they said this. They feel like MMR reset would lead to an extended period of utter chaos. What was that? Like all the cows in the world who couldn't give milk for a while? Or what's the deal with utter chaos?
Just too many udders.
Get it?
All the udders.
There's no cow world.
All the teats. Oh, there is no cow world. The nice Diablo joke you just inserted in there. I'm impressed.
Stay wild and listen.
I feel like there was a time where an MMR reset was the solution to a lot of our problems. I just feel like we are well past that now. And I kind of agree with them. I feel like it would be bad right now. I feel like back when the game was going from beta to live would have been a great time. They opted not to do it then, and now we kind of got to live with it.
They did say visible MMR is coming. So that's a deal.
Which is, they kind of implied it in the article again last week, the development updates, but confirmed here.
There is a ton more in here. We don't have time to go through everything, obviously.
Yeah, actually, but... I read ahead and picked out.
Yeah, grab. I was going to say, I was going to ask you guys if you had something. Yeah.
So what do
you
got? We got to go line by line. We'll be here all day. But on the hero design front, there's a lot written here because they mention a lot of heroes. But really, the only thing to take away that's big is the Raynor rework, which John was right. It's not the next set of reworks, but it's coming down the pipe.
Okay. And there are no plans for Sergeant Hammer. So take that, Sergeant
They're going
Hammer.
To do something with Reign of Disappointment by Gul'dan. To all make right. it less RNG. So, and Genji and Chromie are being looked at.
How about how do you, John? How do you feel about Artanis and Zarya not having any plans for reworks? You don't think they need any help, do you?
I don't think they really need it, but I get why people ask for it. With Artanis, at least I don't play a lot of Zarya, but Artanis does have a lot of talents that just feel old. Yeah. Like there's just a quality to him that it's lacking a little of the panache you see in newer heroes, but he feels fine.
Hero roles, here's an interesting tidbit. Specialists would be redefined into whichever category that particular hero best fits in. Example, Assassin for Nazebo, Zagara and support for Lost Vikings. Nazebo and Zagara and support for the Lost Vikings. Really? Why have the Lost Vikings support? Doesn't seem right.
Give you XP.
Because they're XP support. They heal your experience points.
Healing my
it's
XP.
Literally the where they've been relegated to, yeah. And I feel like that was fun when it was clever and not everyone knew that you could split all three of them into a lane, because there's something to be said about just keeping all three of them in a lane and playing like a regular hero, like, you know, but anyway,
right,
that's where they're at right now.
Any of this battleground stuff jump out at you?
No, it's just the same old, like, you know, they're going to work on Hanamura and Garden of Terror. Like, it's kind of stuff we knew, but it's, again, good that the developers are out there providing confirmation, because I have a feeling when they do these AMAs, that, like, I read through them, I just don't remember them all, almost all the comments, and there's a lot of repetition. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, you know, same old, and that doesn't mean that they shouldn't answer, but literally I think there were 700 comments or questions in there, and, like, you know, 30 of them would be on the same thing. And, you know, some of this is like Brax's holdout's a problem, like someone asked that probably 3 AMAs in a row or something like that. So just the same old really on a lot of this stuff.
My question that I asked got flagged as toxic.
Oh, my.
I don't know. Yeah. My question was, is there any plans to reevaluate rewards in ranked? I feel like it encourages people to expect climbing instead of good placement or good placement and good matches at the rank.
But you
asked that question?
I did.
And you got flagged as toxic?
No, I got downvoted to where it wasn't in the thing anymore.
What? Why?
Yeah, that's because it's an AMA and like.
Yeah,
people just do that. Like,
I have a feeling. Yeah, it was somebody just like, no, my question's better, so I'm downvoting everybody's question who isn't my question.
This isn't my question. Downvote this question.
Yeah, people confuse for contributing meaningful conversation to whether I like this or dislike this.
Yeah,
on Reddit, and so if you have a valid question that people just don't like, then they'll downvote it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So well done, Alebeard. This is a good. Breakdown. You guys should go check it out over at BlizzPro. They did a good job on that. All right. What else?
Yeah, go to BlizzPro and read the rest. There's a lot of details in there. We can't cover all of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a regular reader of Alebeard's articles on BlizzPro. They're quite informative. So
that's,
check them out.
That's fantastic. Now, I don't know if you guys knew this, but there is a tutorial that Blizzard even said, yo, you should push this out there. Tempo Storm's Curtis Kayla Lloyd decided to put together over at twitch.tv/Kayla, K-A-L-A.
It's Kala.
Kala, sorry. I always say Kayla.
Before,
I can't.
Before you get emails.
Yeah. Like Kala, like something from the Kala. What is that from?
Oh, who's
Kala, 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 Kala Chameleon.
That's the
one. No. The Kala is a it's a religious thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Protoss. Duh. It's a Protoss thing. The Kala.
It's from Protoss?
Isn't it a Protoss thing? StarCraft thing? Well, anyway. It sounds like it.
And it is. This is where their minds all join. Their little their connectors in the back connect to the Kala. It's their
There you go.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah, I think you're right. Anyway, he's did this great stutter step tutorial, a video on all about the stutter stepping, and also how to configure characters where they best are using quick casting abilities. what ones to use globally, what ones to use per character, and then how stutter stepping works. You probably heard the term before. If you're not already stutter stepping and you're hearing this and going, what the hell's a stutter step? He very nicely goes through this this tutorial and explains how it works, and he starts very slow, which is nice, you know, a nice thing.
What's kind of cool about this is that it's I mean, he's the coach for Tempo Storm, but I put him in creator space, but this is on the Heroes of the Storm site itself, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because if I had to recommend a stutter stepping video, I'd recommend Kyle Ferguson's videos, but not that there's anything wrong with this, but I'm just, this is also good. So it kind of shows, it's an interesting new thing where it's like, are we going to have content creators invited to help make things for the Heroes of the Storm account to get in front of more eyeballs? And to me, that was like a big positive here. I liked seeing Kala given an opportunity to explain something in the game and get that kind of support from the main site.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's just good. I think this is healthy content for the game in general, even if they just, it's just pros showing how they play. I think that makes for an interesting series.
So. I do. It's also only just over 5 minutes long. Like, I appreciate it for its brevity. You know, there's no have to over explain it. Just sort of shows the ins and outs of doing it. And you can see, like, when he starts slow, but then later he starts hauling ass, it's scary. Like, who's playing like this? Not me. I can tell you that. But Kala. Kala. The voice of the Kala. Oh, that's the other thing it reminds me of. It's the Stephen King book. The Wolves of the Kala is a whole damn book. It's a book 5, I think, or 4 maybe. 5? Anyway, it's part of the Dark Tower series, which really isn't important.
Also, if you want to learn less, not that I want to vibe off that, but we also have a stutter stepping guide on our fairly defunct YouTube page. It's on there as well. Good luck finding it, but
yeah, it's there too. It's there. We know it exists, so good luck finding it. All right, before we get to some code giveaways, which we're going to do right after the show today, okay, we have 2 Phoenix codes and 5 Deckard Cain codes. Everybody's a winner tonight. What is it? 7 people are going to win something tonight. Those who don't have Cain yet are pretty much everybody, so y'all are going to get super lucky here. And then maybe you got Phoenix, maybe you don't, but we'll try to find lucky homes for that as well. I know he's yesterday's hero compared to Deckard Cain, but nonetheless free. And huge thanks, big, walloping, sweaty thanks to Blizzard for giving us these codes tonight, and Lashes specifically for showing up and doing that. That was really nice.
I think they say you can keep the sweaty part.
Yeah, my thanks will be dry and humble and kind.
All right, that's even better. So we'll get to that in just a second. Did want to mention a quick thing. We always talk about There Will Be Dungeons at the end of the show, which is another show that we do with Kyle and Kristen. You can find it on the weekends, 3 p.m. Mountain Time, where we play D&D, this rad custom campaign written in 5th edition rules by Bo Schwartz. He is our DM. We play this thing every week.
Oh, I didn't write the 5th edition rules.
Yeah. I think they are. Are they? I don't know. Bo rules. Some of the rules are a little bended, but whatever, doesn't matter. It's this beautiful, awesome, post-apocalyptic world with magic and dirt and rad stuff in it. So if you haven't been listening to that or watching that, you should be at therewillbedungeons.com. But instead, I will use this moment. See how I've done both things anyway. I will use this moment to recommend, if you like hanging out with your friends and just playing some good old-fashioned playing card games like poker or freaking, I don't know, whatever silly thing you're playing. I used to play a game called 99 all the time, and it just takes a regular deck of cards. Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to draw and make my own playing cards. And by gum, I've done it, or will be doing it. I've sort of half done it. There's a lot more to do, but I've done a bunch of it already. If you're interested in this, the Kickstarter is up. We hit our main goal. We're now on to stretch goals and some really cool stuff to unlock. If you want to be a part of this thing, it just went up a day or two ago. You can go find it over at frogpants.com/cards, with an S, cards. That'll get you there quick, or you can just search for it. Search for my name, Scott Johnson, on Kickstarter. You'll find that as well. But fastest way is probably that one, frogpants.com/cards. And there's something in there for everybody, and I'm super stoked about it. And if you haven't heard of it before, maybe go check that out.
Gorgeous. I think the cards look incredible.
I'm excited, dude. Very excited.
I love the look of them. So, and I'm going to be, my card games of choice are cribbage, canasta, and euchre.
Ooh, strip euchre.
Not strip euchre, drunk euchre.
Drunk euchre.
You gotta hit the table. So when you play a card, you don't just put the card on the table. I was raised, everyone smashes the table when they play cards. It's just a table, people banging it.
Oh, we call that Smash here, that game. I bet Euchre and Smash are the same game. You use
the you turn down or tell them to pick up the trump, and jacks are called Bowers.
Jack Bowers.
And you only play with cards 9 and up. You don't play with the cards 8 and lower.
I think it's not.
They're too young for card games.
Yeah.
you use like half the deck. You don't use the full 52.
Yeah.
It's fun. You know, it's a fun game.
DC's full 52 is a fantastic comic series. And also, Drunk Euchert is my favorite Bob Euchert. All right. Anyway, go check it out. It's frogpants.com/cards. I'm showing it there on the stream right now. You get an idea what these cards look like. We're very excited about it. Can't freaking wait. Oh, and all the new unlocks are up today, so you gotta go look at those.
Oh my gosh, and it's close to hitting its next stretch goal, too.
Yeah.
If I just read that correct.
We are. We're going to hit the... Oh, wait, maybe we just did. Oh my gosh, we did. We unlocked the Frog Pants Concentration, which is a whole mess. People really want this. They want members of the Frog Pants family, other hosts and stuff, in roles like... Imagine King Bo and Joker John. Oh, yeah, that's right. Representations of other hosts as part of the decks.
Profile for reference.
Thanks. I was going to ask if you'd give me one. That'd be great. And we're about to unlock the Carter deck, which is my daughter, who is also quite the budding artist, who will be doing a deck of her own. So a lot more after that. There are poker chips already unlocked. Like, oh, my gosh, you guys, I'm so excited. Anyway, been wanting to do this since I was a kid.
So much work to do, Scott.
I know, I've ruined the rest of 2018. Goodbye, everybody.
But here's what I like. Here's where your genius was. You offloaded some of the decks to other people. It was like, congratulations, my Kickstarter backed. Hey, Carter, guess what? You've got a whole lot of work you have to go do now.
That's true, I did. But that's okay. She's actually jazzed about it, and people seem to like her work. So it feels like the right move. So we'll see how all that goes. Thank you guys for supporting it. And anyone who hasn't checked it out, go look at it. Frogpants.com/cards. We have emails. I should say email from Jacob Haslow, who sent an email in to us at core@heroesforyou.com. And he says this, great Scott Bowen John. It's more of a great Scott thing and not that he thinks we're great. I think that I just want to make that clarification or that distinction.
Does that mean you're not included in this email? He was just making a statement.
I think
now
so.
He wants Bo and myself to answer.
He's going, great Scott, Bo and John. Yeah, that. The comma's there too, so you could read it that way. Anyway, I can't believe what I'm about to say, he says. After listening to last week's episode, I was inspired to do my placement matches for Hero League. The previous season, I was ranked bronze 2, but this time was different. I won every single placement match, all 10 in a row, mixed it up between only 3 different heroes as needed, and now I'm out of Bronze League and made it to the big time. That's right, Silver 2. That's nice. That's quite good. So anyone out there has lost hope and you think you can't raise in the ranks, just remember, I'll be there laughing in your face because, my friends, it can be done. Big thanks to the great friends at the Frog Pants Network. Stay positive, Jacob Haslow. That's
congratulations.
Awesome.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah,
climbing
well
the ladder.
Yeah, I felt like this too last season when we did our placements in Hero League and then it turned over or in Team League. And I was way higher than I expected. Like
you're
way
like
higher.
Gold now,
I was in
you?
Yeah, I was bronze the previous one and I ended up
that's
gold 5.
Gold
yeah.
Good.
I was
very that means you know
I moved up.
It, like bronze has a stigma attached to it. No
right.
one wants to be bronze.
No.
Some of you out there, you're bronze, and it's up to you to, you know. But, you know, you invest a lot. We do a show about this game. You've been playing us in Team League. I'm happy to see your MMR start matching where you belong as a player.
I agree. John's moved up. Mine moved up. Yours always moves up. Well, sometimes yours goes down. But
well,
that's
I've been on a hiatus, so it's going to move up.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to start playing ranked again. I've been off of rank because I was waiting for performance-based matchmaking and then voice comms.
Yeah.
And like voice comms, I'm like, oh, I better be like not as tired. I need to be, you know, I'm going to get into voice comms. And listen, guys, I know this sounds awful, but I get recognized in game quite a bit. And I don't want to go into a Hero League game and be like, hey guys, ready to do this?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just like, so I'm like, I have a little stigma if I'm not feeling 100%. And honestly, it's just, I've been doing the There Will Be Dungeons, other things. So I've been avoiding it.
Yeah. I understand.
I need to get back to it. And when I get back in there, I want people to go, yeah, play with Gorath. It was fun.
Yeah, I totally understand. You know, that,
it sounds weird, but Bo is probably, of all the people I've known in my life, the most, when he becomes tired, yeah, like, he wears that on his sleeve. Yeah. Like, I have never seen anybody that goes from having a normal conversation to just,
I don't even know. I know. Tired Bo is so distinct. Yeah.
That's... Oh, are you all right?
I'm dying. No, you're a good tired guy. We like it. It's a good time being around you when you're tired. Well, anyway, thank you for the email, Jacob, and we're happy to hear you're there. I'm sure many of you have seen improvements as well, and we're happy to hear that. And hopefully performance matchmaking, when it finally happens, will improve your scores even more. If you'd like to send us your own email, you can, core@heroesforyou.com. And that's going to do it. All right, a reminder, patreon.com/core show. That's patreon.com/core show is a great way to support this show. If you like this content and want to see more of it made, it's a great way to do it. Head on over, patreon.com/core show. Imagine a buck is all. What else can you buy in this world for a dollar? A song on iTunes? Sure, why not? But why not this? This is a whole lot longer than a song on iTunes, and it's way cooler, so do that. Heroesforyou.com is our website, and as always, you can email us, core@heroesforyou.com. Find us on Twitter, Bo Schwartz, John_Jagger. I'm at Scott Johnson, and the show is at Core Heroes. I'm all burpy from dinner. I apologize. That's going to do it for us. For me, for John, and for Bo, we'll see you next... Wait, we'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from L.A. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.